Now he was only 50 feet away and closing rapidly. There might never be a better chance. He punched the launching stud. From beneath the belly of the sub, something that looked like a stingray hurtled forward. Don had checked the speed of his own craft. There was no need to come any closer now. The tiny, arrow-shaped hydrofoil, only a couple of feet across, could move far faster than his vessel and would close the gap in seconds. As it raced forward, it spun out the thin line of the control wire like some underwater spider laying its thread. Along that wire passed the energy that powered the Sting and the signals that steered it to its goal. Don had completely ignored his own larger craft in the effort of guiding this underwater missile. It responded to his touch so swiftly that he felt he was controlling some sensitive, high-spirited steed. The shark saw the danger less than a second before impact. The resemblance of the Sting to an ordinary ray confused it, as the designers had intended. Before the tiny brain could realize that no ray behaved like this, the missile had struck. The steel hypodermic rammed forward by an exploding cartridge drove through the shark's horny skin, and the great fish erupted in a frenzy of terror. Don backed rapidly away, for a blow from that tail would rattle him round like a pea in a can and might even cause damage to the sub. There was nothing more for him to do except to speak into the microphone and call off his hounds. The doomed killer was trying to arch its body so that it could snap at the poisoned dart. Don had now reeled the Sting back into its hiding place, pleased that he had been able to retrieve the missile undamaged. He watched without pity as the great fish succumbed to its paralysis. Its struggles were weakening. It was swimming aimlessly back and forth, and once Don had to sidestep smartly to avoid a collision. As it lost control of buoyancy, the dying shark drifted up to the surface. Don did not bother to follow. That could wait until he had attended to more important business. He found the cow and her two calves less than a mile away and inspected them carefully. They were uninjured, so there was no need to call the vet in his highly specialized two-man sub, which could handle any cetological crisis from a stomach ache to a cesarean. Don made a note of the mother's number stenciled just behind the flippers. The calves, as was obvious from their size, were this season's and had not yet been branded. Don watched for a little while. They were no longer in the least alarmed, and a check on the sonar had shown that the whole school had ceased its panicky flight. He wondered how they knew what had happened. Much had been learned about communication among whales, but much was still a mystery.
"I hope you appreciate what I've done for you, old lady," he muttered.
Then, reflecting that 50 tons of mother love was a slightly awe-inspiring sight, he blew his tanks and surfaced. It was calm, so he cracked the airlock and popped his head out of the tiny conning tower. The water was only inches below his chin, and from time to time a wave made a determined effort to swamp him. There was little danger of this happening, for he fitted the hatch so closely that he was quite an effective plug. 50 feet away, a long, slate-colored mound, like an overturned boat, was rolling on the surface. Don looked at it thoughtfully and did some mental calculation. A brute this size should be valuable. With any luck, there was a chance of a double bonus. In a few minutes, he'd radio his report, but for the moment, it was pleasant to drink the fresh Atlantic air and to feel the open sky above his head. A gray thunderbolt shot up out of the depths and smashed back onto the surface of the water, smothering Don with spray. It was just Benj's modest way of drawing attention to himself. A moment later, the porpoise had swum up to the conning tower so that Don could reach down and tickle its head. The great, intelligent eyes stared back into his. Was it pure imagination, or did an almost human sense of fun also lurk in their depths? Susan, as usual, circled shyly at a distance until jealousy overpowered her, and she butted Benj out of the way. Don distributed caresses impartially and apologized because he had nothing to give them. He undertook to make up for the omission as soon as he returned to the Herman Melville.
"I'll go for another swim with you, too," he promised, "as long as you behave yourselves next time." He rubbed thoughtfully at a large bruise caused by Benja's playfulness and wondered if he was not getting a little too old for rough games like this.
"Time to go home," Don said firmly, sliding down into the cabin and slamming the hatch. He suddenly realized he was very hungry and had better do something about the breakfast he'd missed. There were not many men on Earth who had earned a better right to eat their morning meal. He had saved for humanity more tons of meat, oil, and milk than could easily be estimated. Don Burley was the happy warrior, coming home from one battle that man would always have to fight. He was holding at bay the specter of famine, which had confronted all earlier ages, but which would never threaten the world again while the great plankton farms harvested their millions of tons of protein and the whale herds obeyed their new masters. Man had come back to the sea after eons of exile. Until the oceans froze, he would never be hungry again. Don glanced at the scanner as he set his course. He smiled as he saw the two echoes keeping pace with the central splash of light that marked his vessel. "Hang around," he said. "We mammals must stick together." Then, as the autopilot took over, he lay back in his chair. And presently, Benj and Susan heard a most peculiar noise rising and falling against the drone of the turbines. It had filtered faintly through the thick walls of Sub-5, and only the sensitive ears of the porpoises could have detected it. But intelligent beasts though they were, they could hardly be expected to understand why Don Burley was announcing, in a highly unmusical voice, that he was heading for the last roundup.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.